I feel like the Lord impressed me with a thought that we could share together as we pay honor and tribute to our King who suffered and sacrificed and gave of Himself, went to the grave, rose again, and even today is at the very right hand of the Father for us. Our King who is with us through the ways unknown, our King whose instructions have been left with us to strengthen us and to be our guide even unto death. As a father pities his children and imparts to them the good wisdom and an inheritance and all the things that we feel like a good father should, our Father and His Son have imparted to us a rich inheritance. And inheritance comes after the benefactor has gone on. Well, our Lord has ushered in through His death and through His resurrection, of course, the New Testament. It's His body. And in it is truth, in it is integrity, in it is right standing with God. Now we serve Him today and obey His ordinances because we find in it His life, meaning, and purpose. So thank the Lord for that. I'd like to discuss just a while the blessing of being loved by the divine. Every one of us, I hope and pray today, knows the joy of love. I hope we all know the love of a little. Someone wrote a song in the world here a few years ago about butterfly kisses. I hope we all know the joy of a little kiss of a child. Mommy, Daddy, I love you. I hope each one of us know or have known, will know, the joy of the love of a companion, the treasure of being loved, the strength of it, the security of it, the richness of it, the power it transfers to you and me of responsibility and gives us power and strength to do that which is required of us, a husband's love for his family compels him to go beyond sometimes what he may feel like. The love of a mother causes her to sacrifice when her body is absolutely wore out. The love of God today goes beyond all the human and all the fleshly understandings, but we have to relate it some way that we can understand. A little bit today that you and me would understand as we commemorate, celebrate, honor what Christ did for us in washing our feet, humbling Himself, and going to a grave and dying a terrible death. I'd like to read a few scriptures about being loved by God. And the ones that impressed me is found in 1 John 4. And in this love, as a parent imparts to the child an inheritance, a mannerism, a style of living, values of living, responsibility of living, God also, in giving us His divine love, imparts to us that we too should love one another. In the 7th verse of the 4th chapter of 1 John. Beloved, let us love one another. For the source of that love and the spring and the wellspring of that love. For love is of God, the very nature, the very person of God, the character of Him. And that love is a very unselfish, giving love. A love that caused Him and required of Him to offer up Himself without reservation, to empty himself, and to give us an inheritance, and to give us the kingdom, to give us fellowship, and to share with us his love in its total capacity. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. The great character of God, and we try to equate it to some way we can understand. But I believe God in his wisdom, knowing that you and me could not totally express it, expressed it through his Son, Jesus Christ. In his ministry, in his tears for us, in the times he's held our hands and comforted us, the times that we've, you know, my oldest son, as he was learning his words, and something would break, he'd bring it to me and say, "Pix it, Daddy, pix it." In our infancy, in our weakness, and with our brokenness, we come and say, "Fix it, Father, fix it." The Lord has demonstrated time and again he's willing to fix things for us. He's willing to heal things for us. He's willing to come to us in our inadequacies and give us of his manifold adequacy. So he said to us, God is love. Thank God for that. In this was manifest the love of God toward us. He had to demonstrate it. He had to show it. And that drawing that Jesus Christ extends from the cross is the extension of his love. He said, herein is love, in this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we, creatures of sin, might live through him. If we had Christ's body here, if we had him in a casket of some kind here, we would look on him as the gift of God, a gift from God. The gift of love, the gift of hope, the gift of charity. And said, God sent him for you and me, that we might be more than a conqueror, and that we that were dead in trespasses and sin, that he'd be able to quicken us. Now, we celebrate something here today. We memorialize something today, but we celebrate the gift of God. We celebrate that one that was sent into the world to offer for us an offering that was no other source, no other place could it be received from. So this is one way God has demonstrated his love to us, in that he has sent his Son into the world. We remember the parable that Jesus said. He said about the man whose messengers were rejected time and time again. And in his great love, can we imagine a moment, you've got everything, and there's some people over there that are your servants, at least in name, and you have exactly what you need, and you really care about them and their welfare. And you send them messengers, and you send them help, you send them instructions, and invariably, they do damage to that very source of help you send to them. And can you imagine how long you and me would endure? How long you and me would tolerate such actions? The Lord God in time and time again endured such as that. And then he said, what am I going to do? I know what I'll do. I'll send them my Son. My loved Son. My only Son. And perhaps they'll reverence, respect, and honor him We sing this song, such love cannot be fathomed. Can we imagine today and understand the extension of being loved by the divine after so many times of refusal, so many times of doing harm to His gospel of grace, and over again He extended Himself to you and me. He loved us, loves us so much. He said, I know they've done them all wrong. They don't deserve this. But I know what I'll do. I'll send them my only Son, that we, that they, might have life through Him. So we live today because He died for us. The songwriter said, now in return, I want to live for Him. I want to show Him that His gift, His offering, His teaching, the heritage, the inheritance, the offering was not in vain. One time with my sons, we went through what I think was the normal growing pains. And fathers are full of advice. And sometimes sons are full of, oh, Dad. We went through those eras of that. And I never will forget one time my son called me. He was a grown man. He called me and he said, had a little situation come up. He said, Dad, what do you think? Well, I want to tell you something. He gave me a gift. He gave me a gift. He said, Dad, what do you think? I thought, did he really say that? That we'll live for Him, who has imparted that we may live for Him, who has imparted to us the wisdom of the ages, the wisdom of the divine, who has borne with us when we were so rebellious and self-willed. Now He has sent His only Son. 10th verse, and here is love, herein is love. Not that we love God. That's not the essence of love today. That's not why we're saved today. That's not really why we stay saved today, although it's an integral part. Herein is love. Herein is the full demonstration of love. Herein is the center of love. Not that we loved God. Not that we were so virtuous in love. But that God loved, can I say, loves us. That is the central strength of our salvation. That is the reason we can commemorate the death of Jesus Christ. That is the reason we can follow Him in the washing of one another's feet. He did it out of love to us. In our desperation, in our need, in our weakness, in our folly, in our lack of wisdom, He loved us. Can we imagine anything greater than being loved by the divine? The love of family, precious. The love of the saints is precious. The love of our fellow man that goes beyond the call of duty, it's a precious thing. But while we were yet sinners, the divine love of God was not deterred by our sins. He was not repelled by our rebellion and our questions and all of the errors that we made. That love went beyond everything and saw deep down in us a growing and a glowing and a great need. And that love reached down to where you and I are and were. Reach down to us in the miry clay. Reach down to us in the depths of despair. Plucked us out as a brand out of the fire. Kept us from the gates of hell. Kept us from the pits of hell. And drew us out and drew us to Him. And not only that, as the wayward son, He killed the fatted calf. He brought out the best robes in the ring. And He said, welcome, my son that was dead, now he's home and he's alive. The Lord didn't just relegate us to a servant. He didn't relegate us to someone that is just going to get by on meager existence and meager fare. But now we're joint heirs. Joint heirs with Jesus. Now we can reign with Him. And now we can dwell with Him. And the riches of His kingdom we can enjoy. The fellowship of the Father we can have through this death and this resurrection of our Lord. Herein is love. Not that we said, Lord, I love you. Lord, I'll serve you if you'll save me. No, we are, the depth of love is, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. You know, probably the majority of us growing up did not appreciate the sacrifice that our parents gave for us. And probably our children do not understand the sacrifice that we gave for them. But the Bible said, when I became a man, I put away childish things. The adult responsibility and the needs and the responsibilities of life dawn on us. And then we recognize, you know, I remember that time my dad did so-and-so. I remember that time my mom did so-and-so. I remember the time when I was just plain ornery and they bore with me. I remember the time that I was rebellious. I look back now and see that. And yet, there were those arms of love to comfort me, to discipline me, and try to guide me in the right direction. Not that we love God. I believe for myself, I won't speak for you, but I believe I was quite unlovable. I really believe that. And praise God that He loved me and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That is love, folks. The Jesus of Calvary is the love of God. The Jesus of Gethsemane is the love of God. The Jesus who stood before Pilate and was spit upon is the love of God. They treated Him beyond shame. See, shame could be imparted if He was a mere man, but He was the divine. He was the expressed image of the Father. He was love and Emmanuel among us. He was the very hope of mankind. And what they did to Him and our sins did to Him went far beyond shame. It went beyond a word that probably we can coin here today. And He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Such love, such respect, such devotion to us cannot be fathomed. Then the 11th verse said, and I think so much about the teachings of God. Many places, most places, the teaching then is directed toward us. Not only does He teach us, but He says, now, this is my hope, and this is my expectation. This is my desire, and this is what I'm looking for. When you and me recognize that we have been loved by the divine, the Holy One, when we have been loved by the great I Am and are loved, when the great I Am loved us so much that He sent forth His Son, His only Son, to be the propitiation for my sins and for your sins. To be that lamb that was brutally, brutally slain. To be that lamb who was spotless and pure and holy, who knew no sins, to bear my sins and your sins. The reproach that reproached us fell on Him. Our griefs and our shames. He bore that knowing He was innocent. Now He says to us, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Herein will men know that we are God's disciples and Christ's disciples. And He said this Himself, as we show forth love one to another. Such love, not of humanity. I'm convinced that the majority of human love, if not all, has a limitation. I do not believe the love of God will stop at the judgment, but men will bear the consequences. And maybe there will always be in the mind of God, I wish they'd have yielded to. I wish they'd have come to the cross also. Those who are banished into everlasting night. I don't know how God feels about this altogether. I know He's just and holy, but maybe there'll be that one lost lamb out there that's in hell now that He still thought about. I don't know if He'll do that or not. But human love, I believe, has a limitation. Been my experience, the way I've seen things. If we're not careful, we'll place those limitations on our fellowship. We'll place those limitations on our respect one for another. But we're to love as God has loved. We're to care as God has cared. We're to forbear as God has forbeared. If God so, and this word so, wow, little bitty word with a definition and projection that goes out through eternity. If God so loved us, we ought to love one another. As you and me are touched by the divine, as this Christ who we memorialize today and remember and honor here today has washed us and regenerated us through the washing of the regeneration of the blood, we ought to in kind return that love not only to Him, but to one another. To share the burdens of life, to be able and to be willing and have a great desire for one another that we know how and desire more than anything to forgive one another. Be willing to bear the cross with one another, to be able to understand one another. I think this about the Lord. One reason He was able to love us so and be able to forgive us is He understood us. He said, I know your frame. It is as but dust. I need to, with the love of God in me and you, need to understand our brother. He is as but dust. And we need to pity one another as we in turn need pity. We need to love one another in the same essence that I need love. Think about it. God has never okayed sin. We're not even going there. We're talking about being loved by the divine and it having such an impact on us that the love of Christ constraineth us. The love of Christ compels us, draws us. How can we do any less? We that have been recipients of the love of the divine, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. I think about that. And I think then about the 13th chapter of John. And he begins the writing with a statement that I've always thought a lot of. John wrote this. The very first verse. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come. Now I've thought about that too. I've watched people die. And you have also, I'm sure, most of us. And this is not wrong, but a person in the moments of death is peculiarly interested in himself or herself. How is it? How's it going? Acutely aware that life is ebbing out, and I'm fixing to see for the last time, hear for the last time, taste for the last time, touch for the last time. They are not only the central figure in their mind, they are the central figure in all those around them. And that's right, it's not wrong. You're acutely aware that something that's never happened and you've never experienced before is going to take place. And you're very much concerned and aware of your own self and your own needs. Jesus Christ was coming down to that moment and to that time. Our Savior, our friend, our divine lover, was come that He should depart out of this world unto the Father. And having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. Right here, He wanted to impart a lesson when many of us would be thinking about our own need, our own welfare, or our own situation. I can see Him as a holy Father, as a loving Savior. I can see Him as a Father that wanted to impart to His children, as Jacob of old blessed His children. You might remember, I think Jacob lived a while after that. As someone who wants to have something special left to His own. I have loved you and cared for you. And He said, I have loved them right up to the end. Thank God for that divine love. Do we understand today that love is still going forth? And we are loved by this one who died for us. And we know the story. We won't read all this. There was mixed emotions among the disciples. There was mixed feelings among the disciples. They surely didn't understand it. And without that revelation from God, we can't understand it. But there came a time when they did understand. There should come a time in our life when we understand the God of heaven has loved us. So He took the water in the basin, girded Himself with a towel, and He went about and humbled Himself and washed His disciples' feet, imparting to them in His last hours, last days, something very, very special. If God has so loved us, now we ought to so love one another. Did you know there's no excuse for not washing one another's feet? And I don't mean entirely in this service. There's no excuse for not humbling ourselves and serving one another. If then He, our Lord and Master, He said, have washed your feet, ye ought to wash one another's feet. We as people put barriers up that God wants to pull down. We as people put up restrictions and charades, and little fences to hide behind. The Lord emptied Himself and washed His disciples' feet. He took away the excuse of not forgiving, of not loving, of not serving. He took away the excuse of something being distasteful or something being hard. He took away the thing that you and me might say, well, I just can't do that. We have been loved, folks, by the divine. We have been touched by the best. We have been washed in the precious. We have been exposed to and been made the habitation of the great I Am. What glory that imparts. What honor and praise to Him that gives. And what responsibility. I'll live for Him who died for me. I'll take off the mantle of flesh, the pride of life. I'll take off and give it to God and say, Lord, it's no longer mine. I want You. He said, you ought to. I'm glad God's merciful to us. I'm glad God doesn't heap the divine on us and said it's all or none right now. I'm glad He said grow in grace and in knowledge. I'm glad He's a teacher I'm glad He's merciful. But folks, God expects that the divine love that you and me have been loved with to work a mighty work in our life. It's to totally and radically change me. I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily I say unto you, the servant is not greater than the master, than the Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. So we're not greater than the Lord. And He washed our feet. And folks, in my little simple mind, it is so far beyond just the washing of the feet. It is the character of life. It is the turning of the other cheek. It is the giving of ourselves on the altar of sacrifice. It is loving others more than ourselves. It is to be the help to the lost, to the distasteful. It is to go beyond just touching what is probably already a clean foot. But it's going down to where men are hurting and men have polluted themselves and telling them the gospel story. Taking of our financial means and giving. Taking of our time and giving. Taking of our understanding and giving. Taking of ourselves and giving. If you know these things, He said, praise God. If you know them and you do them, then you're happy. I wonder sometimes about happiness and our pursuit of it. I wonder sometimes if there's people that don't run right by the cross. Ooh, no, not that. And if they would stop and linger a moment and look upon that parade of that great cloud of witnesses who has been washed in the blood, humble themselves at the cross, and see the joy and the testimony of their life, maybe to be able to peer over into paradise and see the joy of the blessed. I wonder sometimes if maybe, if in this mad rush of time, people would just stop at the cross and think, what's going on here? What's that man up there dying for? He sure doesn't look like a bad person. What did he say? What did he say? Did he say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? Well, didn't that guy just spit on him? Didn't that guy just slap him? Didn't that guy just humiliate him? And that big old heavy mallet, didn't they just put that big spike through his hand and feet? What did I hear? What did I hear? He said, Father, forgive them. Oh, if we, in the mad rush of time, would stop at the cross and hear the message of the cross and let those great drops of blood come down and wash us, purify us, confess ourselves and be washed in that blood, and then bear our heart and bear our nature and say, sanctify me wholly. Happy are ye when we know these things. Happy are you if you do. So today, we are loved by the divine. Let us pray. My Father, ears to hear we need. I want it, Lord. I'm not satisfied with my ears. May the message of the cross and of Calvary, may the bitterness of the blood, oh God, help us to always behold that scene and hear the message, to hear the message of if you've washed our feet, to hear that message, Lord, that we ought to bear and wash one another's. Not that we've been loved, we're so lovable or love you, but God, in your pity, you loved us. In your nature, you loved us. Lord, help us to love one another with a pure heart. And Father, help us to love the fallen brother. And help us to love the sinner out there that's so desperate. Lord, as we wash one another's feet, help us to receive the message. This is symbolic of something that needs to transpire in our heart. The spirit of a servant. The spirit of the lover of God. Cause this to be precious, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. As usual, we divide up. The brethren go on the east side, and the sisters may go to the west side. Did I say that right? No. The brethren go to the west side. The sisters go to the east side. When you come back, leave a pew between you and the person in front of you. It's a dishonor to want to forget or not remember someone. To try and forget what the Lord did while we think it's to us impossible. How much and how much of this world today is not remembering that a Savior has died, that a Lamb has been slain, and there has been a price paid for man's redemption. So part of Paul's instructions in the first Corinthians in the 11th chapter was that Jesus, in instituting what we term the Lord's Supper or the communion, was that we do what we do in honor and praise to Him, in remembrance of the One who gave everything, in remembrance to the effect and the instrument of that divine love that has loved us. And today we, in our way, and we try to observe this as best we understand it was delivered to Paul in the way the Lord Himself instituted it. It's our way of saying, Lord, we love You, we honor You, we respect You. It's our desire never to forget, never to let it slip from our memory, to hold this scene of the cost of our salvation forever before us, to remember Your suffering, to remember Your teachings, to honor You by showing the world the impact You have had in the hearts of Your followers and Your disciples. So may God help us today as we remember the Lord specifically, that it be indelibly on our heart, that in everything and in all our ways, we honor Him, we remember Him, that we choose our words, that we choose our actions, that we choose the very events of our life in remembrance of Him, that we do all to His glory, that we do all to honor Him, that we say, my Father, my Savior taught me this. How many times do you and me say, I can remember Dad saying so-and-so. I can remember my mother showing me how to do so-and-so. May we today have a ready response to the world. This pleases the Lord. This is what the Lord has shown me. This is what I received from my divine Father and my brother, my Savior. So remember Him. Remember Him in our thoughts. Remember Him in our devotion, in our affections. Remember Him in all that we do, not just in a few moments of a service, but we're going to leave. We're going to go forth, and we want to show Jesus Christ to the world. So we remember Him. He used the instruments of bread and wine to demonstrate to us the sacrifice that He was about to give. The bread, the baked bread, represented His body. And for my salvation and for yours, that body had to be literally broken, had to be humiliated and shamed and ridiculed. That body had to be degraded and laughed at and humiliated. That body had to suffer the shame of the in an indignation of the created back toward the Creator. It had to bear up and hold up and finally succumb to the power of death for every one of us. This body that's demonstrated here by this loaf of bread had to absolutely taste death for every one of us. Think about it. The innocent, the pure, the holy, tasting death for the unrighteous. So this is the body of Christ, not literally, but symbolically. It represents one who loved us enough. He said, this is me. I give myself. Nobody takes this body. Nobody takes this life, but I lay this life down. Surely we ought to praise Him and thank Him, worship Him. So He took the bread, He blessed it, He broke it, and He said, as you take it and you eat of it, remember me. Remember me. You know, the Lord just, I think there's depths of want and love in that thought and remembrance of me that you and I maybe need to understand deeper. God wants us to be remembering Him. He wants us to think on Him. He wants us to reflect on Him. He wants us to follow Him. And He took the cup. And the cup is something that contained the wine or the grape juice. It represents, probably along with the breath of man, the most important part of our ability to live. And that's the blood of Christ, of our blood. We think of air as oxygen as being vitally important, but yet it is distributed through our body by the blood. The Jews were to hold the blood of the sacrificed animals in a certain awe and respect. It was to be the essence of the outpouring and the gift upon the altar. And when an animal was killed, the blood was not to be eaten because there was life in that blood. And even the shedding of innocent blood of animals was precious and costly in the sight of God. Now we are saved because our Lord was willing to give His blood. The blood of Christ. The blood of Christ cleanseth me and you. So we honor Him today. So when this cup comes to you, it is to remember, us to remember something. The Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ of God, the Holy One, shed His blood that we might live. This love that we've been loved by takes on new dimension when we look at the sacrifice involved in it. A sacrifice that offered all for those who were not even the least bit interested. Think about that. A love that went out beyond any reciprocation he may hope to receive. While we were yet sinners, this happened for us. He died for us. So He wants us to remember Him. How best can we remember Him? A few times a year, partake of the communion, the Lord's Supper. Is that sufficient? Or would it be more correct to every day, every breath we take, every thought we have, every word we say, to remember the Lord Jesus Christ, His sacrifice? Paul wrote it this way, in 1 Corinthians 11, 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. There's one thing about the Bible, God has been real faithful to us to deliver to us His will and how He wants us to honor Him and love Him. He went to great extent to preserve this. You study the history of the Bible and how we came to require it so freely now, and you look at the cost of it. You look at the diligence that some men paid and the sacrifice of their lives. The Lord wanted this preserved at all costs. He wants you and me to observe this at all costs. Men have done this that we're doing now at the peril of their life. And we do it so easily and so freely. I honor God in that, but oh God, may it cause a seriousness to come upon us all. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, He took bread, just a loaf of unleavened bread, and when He had given thanks, and I wonder what His prayer altogether was. He thanked the Lord. He honored God. And he recognized that this was symbolic of Him. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." We understand giving our lives for ourselves in the sense of sacrificing that away. But the Lord gave Himself for us. "This do in remembrance of me." And after the same manner, He took the cup when He had supped, saying, "This is the cup of the New Testament, a new covenant, a new era, a new dispensation. This is the cup of good news. This is the cup of deliverance. This is the cup of mercy. This is the cup of the defeat of sin. This is the cup that contains in symbol the blood that I'm going to shed, that you'll be able to serve me without fear all the days of your life, in holiness and without fear all the days of your life. This is the blood that's going to break the snare. This is the blood that's going to free you. This is the blood that's going to make you innocent." And He passed it to him. And He said in one place in the Gospels, "Drink ye all of it." Lord, help us not to shun the blood. He said, "As oft is the New Testament in my blood, this do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." May God help us today to remember Him, to honor Him, to praise Him, to worship Him, to thank Him. So may God be with us in this little service now. "For as oft as ye do this, eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." In other words, bringing dishonor to it is my thinking. I've known of a few cases where in life someone treated someone else less than gracious. And after the one party was dead, the one that remained seemed to talk about how good and how wonderful they were. But in life, they treated them very disrespectfully. Think about that a moment. Let's not just drink and eat of the bread and drink of the cup as a pretense or as a testimony that we want people to think we're good and we're holy. But let's drink it from our heart. Let's drink it from the right spirit. It's either the bread and the right spirit. That, "Lord, by doing this, I also testify by Your grace, I want to bring honor to You. I want to remember You, and I want my life to be an honor to You. I don't want to be here doing this and then outside the realms of this service, bring dishonor to You." So the Lord help us today. Then he said, let's examine ourselves. I do that a lot, maybe not enough even. I did it before I stood up here just a few minutes ago. Lord, help us. This blood came to cleanse us. Jesus Christ was broken to purify us and cleanse us from all sin. Let's continually let Him do that. And I don't mean sin you must, sin you will. But those imperfections, that humanity, those places in us that get hurt and don't understand, those places in us that we just need to say, I'm sorry for, let's keep them continually on the altar. The Lord wants us to examine ourselves. Are we really, really doing what we profess that we want to do? May God help us to look at ourselves and not to be hurt, but to be challenged. To be challenged to come up a little higher if need be. To get out of that rut. To get out of that despondency. To get out of that little bit of laziness. To allow the Lord to challenge us when we examine ourselves and say, Lord, I need a thorough stirring of Your Spirit in me. The gift that You've given me. I've let it settle. I've let the zeal kind of be eked out. Let's examine ourselves to see if we are backing up with our life the testimony we have here today. This is not to condemn us. This is to let us know that this symbolically has great purpose. It represented the greatest gift that will ever be given to man. Let's let it work its full work in us. And let's examine ourselves to see, is my life portraying what this symbolizes, or the hope or the gift? May the Lord help us today.